knowing all along that eventually someone is going to meet Henry Billman.
Yeah, it's funny. I've introduced Mike now a few times saying that Mike and I ran a vicious, bitter, hard-fought campaign to see who was going to get defeated by Henry Billman.
And Henry Billman, at that time, had been...
his former governor and former United States senator. And he came out of retirement on the farm, which is a whole other story, but came out of retirement to run for governor again.
And he did not need to have a runoff. He won by 70% of the votes.
Exactly.
In the Republican primary.
That was pretty much a straightforward deal. I think Henry's deal to come back, Ed Julian and a lot of folks went to Henry and said, you need to come back here and sort this mess out. So Henry did, and I think part of that deal was to make sure that he had a well-funded campaign and that he didn't have a lot of opposition in the primary.
So how did you position yourself against Henry Billman, who was such a revered man in this state, and you were basically a nobody?
Yeah.
You had to treat him differently than Mike Turpin.
We put out lots of plans, which normally don't really spark much interest, but I had an answer for everything. I must have sounded like Elizabeth Warren. I had a solution for every possible illness to face Oklahoma. Education reform and infrastructure development and you name it, we had plans galore. And Henry was kind of an aw shucks guy. And I could tell when he and I were on the platform together, we never debated. We would speak sequentially a few times, not very often, but you could tell that it was a combination of amusement and irritation on Henry's part. They would normally have me speak first because it's the advantage to go last. And he would say, well, I guess some might think that you can do that sort of thing, but that's not, you know, he just kind of dismissed the whole thing. So we ran a vigorous, youthful effort. Henry would not debate me. I had somebody in a chicken suit follow him around at all of his events. That got to be somewhat famous.
And who was in the chicken suit?
Well, there was a rumor that it was Roger Randall. And I don't know for sure that it wasn't on one or two occasions, but I think it was just one of our staff members. I was a little divorced from all that, but our campaign was having fun making the point to everybody that Henry didn't want to debate me, and his team didn't want this contrast on television. They didn't like that idea. So what I did was, Governor Billman had a little narcolepsy over the years, and he would fall fast asleep in front of you. You just wait patiently, and he would wake up. I experienced it when I was at the Health Science Center. I took one of the new provosts to meet the United States Senator, and he just went flat to sleep for just a few minutes, and then he popped back awake. He did that during George Nye's State of the State when Henry went on to be the director of DHS, or at one point was serving as director of DHS. He fell asleep in the gallery. Somebody took a picture of it. We took that picture and blew it up to life size, and I debated that sleeping picture of Henry Billman around the state. So I'd set up an auditorium. We didn't do this a lot. Shirley Billman never forgave me for this, but we would sat there, and in all fairness, I would try to present Henry's position on an issue where we differed as clearly as I could. But of course, I'm making fun of him and drawing a contrast by the sleeping picture. But we got close.
Yes, you did. It was like 47% for Billman, David Walters, 44%. Less than 30,000 vote difference, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I almost felt sorry because Henry, the morning after, because nobody anticipated me being anywhere near him. So it was a close election, and he spent all of his initial interviews that I saw trying to describe why that happened. And we had great TV. I was standing by a John Deere tractor in western Oklahoma with my dad. Bob Schrum was involved in a number of presidential campaigns, and David Doak. This is when they were young and brilliant, still brilliant. But they said, okay, you're behind. We're going to have you announce that you've lost. Not in so many words, but we're going to cut an ad that sounds like the ad you would run the day after you got beat. So they reverberated my voice. They had me walking with my dad, who at that time was suffering from Alzheimer's. And I was saying, we fought the good fight. We did the best we could. We made our case for improving Oklahoma. But what is, you know, or whatever. So it was carefully crafted language to make it sound like a concession. I had one or two supporters that got upset because we sounded like a concession. But people saw that and they said, oh my God, what a nice young man. I wish we had voted for him. Oh, wait, we can still vote for him. Henry Billman's team told me later, had another week expired in that election, I would have won. Because they said they were dropping like a rock, that ad was killing them.
I interviewed former Governor Billman, and he's in our library, so those of you who want to hear him speak, and talk about particularly his first forays into public speaking, which he talked about, which he was known for. He's here on voicesofoklahoma.com. So you lost. How do you handle that defeat? Did you feel actually good about yourself? You lost, but maybe you felt good that you came. I figured out, actually, it was 26,000 some votes. Mm-hmm. You came to unseating him. So did you walk out with maybe a pretty good feeling about yourself?
You know, somebody late in the campaign came into my office and shut the door, and they said, the problem with you is that you really don't want to win. It was a motivational speech, I think, but it was really insulting at the time because I was day and night working my tail off. But they may have seen something. I really did want to win. I thought I'd be a great governor and all the rest. Now I realize that I was probably vastly underprepared for that, but who knows? I mean, I'm terribly young, never been in government before. And while I had done a lot of different things, it didn't quite rise to that level. But, you know, we've elected high school teachers and other folks as governor, so maybe not. But I didn't feel crushed by it. I gave a speech, which I thought was brilliant, but I think it's been said a million times. You learn a lot more from failure than you do from success, and I learned a lot from failure. I had a lot of issues with organized labor at the time. I fixed all that by the time I ran in 1990. So I was a much, much better candidate in 1990 and a much more serious candidate, had really serious opposition when I ran again. And I don't know that I immediately planned to run again, but because there was a home loan controversy, Rhonda and I had put a mortgage on our home to try to fund some last TV buys, and that was made controversial by Turpin in the runoff. And then it kind of haunted us. They had a special prosecutor, and literally, I borrowed money against my home. I paid the money back. So there was nothing wrong with it, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, I had no negatives on me, and so it was the only thing they could grab, and you can make anything sound like a negative. That experience wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't that severe. So probably 2 years afterwards, I was thinking again about running again.